We are in the book of John, chapter 5, and we're going to start in verse 39. I'm going to read it, get some context here. Last time, Jesus was talking about the witnesses, and he established in the law back in Deuteronomy, he said, two or three witnesses, the matter is established. And last time, when Jesus was talking, he says, I'll do you one better. He says, instead of two witnesses, I'll give you four. And he lists those off, and we'll just quickly recap those witnesses. And it's important. It's important because man has a skeptical problem. He wants to quantify things. He wants to see things before he believes it. And the Christian faith is nothing short of the opposite of that. Jesus is not here, but somehow one day we came to the Lord and something changed in the indwelling of the Spirit, and now things are opened with a new light. And the only way you can explain it as a Christian is I got saved. And the world doesn't see that. But so we looked back, and back in verse 31, and we looked at a couple things. Number one, he claimed from verse 17 that his claim of his works, and then he said John the Baptist. I'm sorry. Himself. He claimed he's a witness of himself, but he says, that's not enough to show you that I'm the Son of God. He's trying to show them, I am God. And then he says, well, you know what? John the Baptist came, and he bared witness of me. He said I was the light that came into the world. And then also in verse 36, he says, guess what? The other witness was the works that I do. I'm going to raise men from the dead. I've healed a man that was lame. And let's get the context here. Think of the context of the chapter. When we read a passage and we read the chapter and then we think about the book, think of all of those things when we study the Bible. And today's not teaching how to study the Bible. Today's about going through it and looking at that context. What's Jesus trying to do? In light of the passage, he's telling him, here's what I'm bearing witness of. And then it's in context to the chapter. He just healed a man that couldn't walk for 38 years, and all of a sudden he wakes up one day, he goes to a pool. The pool didn't do it. It was Jesus Christ. He came to Jesus Christ. Grace and mercy, he heals this man, and this man is changed. But in light of the book now, what's the bigger picture? I'm the Son of God. And these things come into this pot to show this, and he says, okay, well, now there's another witness. It's my Father, in verse 37. Verse 37, he says that his Father is a witness of him. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. So when we say Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh, what happened was he had to take on, Luke 2, 35, believe, it calls it a holy thing. This vessel that he went into, the Holy Spirit, he's eternity, he's eternal, and he went into a body of flesh. And it's that holy thing, they called it. And he grew up like us. He's the Son of God, but he's also the Son of Man. He's in flesh, but he walked this earth, he was sinless. And he says, the Father born witness, and you didn't see God, you didn't see his shape. You know what but when you look at me, when you look at these miracles, what John the Baptist was witnessing, what he was telling people of my testimony, you are witnessing, you are looking at God. And that's the point. But then he says there's even another thing, and that's where we're going to get to today. The scriptures testify of me, verse 39, search, that word, search, not read, says search. Why use the word search? Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they, the scriptures, are they, the scriptures, which testify of me. If we go to Timothy, we're not going to go there. Timothy, his grandmother's teaching him the scriptures. You know what Timothy had? He had Genesis through Malachi. Those are the scriptures. So the pastor said last week in a message, he says, some churches, some things, some people will just preach out of the New Testament. Guess what? If I was to highlight in the New Testament everything that was the Old Testament, most of it would be highlighted, about 90% of it. Search the scriptures. In them, you will find eternal life. They testify of me. So he's telling them, when I read those scriptures, Genesis through Malachi, you're going to see Jesus. And I'm going to urge you today, and I wrote down this statement because I didn't want to forget it. I don't want to bastardize it. If you search the scriptures and you don't find Jesus, your search is in vain. I'm going to say that again. If you search the scriptures and you don't find Jesus, your search is in vain. Why? Because the point of the scriptures is what? That ye may have eternal life. Well, I'm saved, brother. But search the scriptures and make sure you are finding Jesus in some way, shape, or form. But don't find Jesus in all the little intricacies. What I'm saying is find Jesus. Look at it. When I read about the tabernacle, okay, yeah, that's great, all these things, but where am I finding Jesus in there, right? And by the way, he's in there. Leviticus, all those offerings, he's in there. This faith thing to get saved, it's an interesting thing, is because you can be shrouded by the falsities of religion, and it will send them right to hell. And Jesus says, when you search the scriptures, the Old Testament, you're going to have eternal life. What does that mean? That law is not eternal life. Religion is not eternal life. Commandments are not eternal life. In the scriptures, they testify of me. I am eternal life. I am the source of eternal life. They missed it, and people are missing it today. We have the same problem that is happening in Jesus' day when he walked the earth as we do now. So when we tell people today, you need to trust Jesus, trust Jesus, trust Jesus. My in-laws yesterday, they have shirts. One says Jesus saves, the other says trust Jesus. It's very two simple statements. You know what's really hard? Coming to that conclusion that you need a Savior, right? We don't want to admit that we need a Savior. We can't do it on our own. Our good works are not enough. Jesus is telling these people, the scriptures testify of me. Now what's interesting is, Jesus says, you know what? Two or three witnesses, right? Two or three, this matter's established. I'm God. You're going to have to climb over all these witnesses to kind of prove me wrong. And he says, guess what? I have every witness that you can imagine. And you know what witness he has today? You guys. Us. The church. The Holy Spirit's indwelled in the believer. How will they hear unless they hear a preacher, right? That's in Romans 10. How beautiful are the feet, right, that are bringing that gospel to people. That's another witness. When you say, well, let's go out and go witnessing, what are you doing? You're testifying of the truths of Jesus Christ that, guess what? If you trust in him, he has eternal life. Sometimes men find a new truth. I'm going to say this statement. Sometimes men find a new truth. They think it's gold, okay? New thing, right? Science is really good at this. They think that they're finding a new thing. When we say search the scriptures, what you're doing is, I'm going to use this analogy. In 1849 was one of the biggest gold rushes to the West, right? Fact check, right? Okay. Everybody's on their phone Googling, right? 1849? I believe so. Everybody goes out West and tries to find gold, right? And all of a sudden people are like, they realize, well, I heard there was gold, but you know, it's really hard to find. Gold goes, and I looked this up, gold goes in soil, it's mingled in soil, but sometimes it's so small and minuscule, it's flakes, and sometimes you mistake in it, you're not really getting it. What is opposed to looking, if I want that preciousness, right? If I want that precious gold, what do I got to do? I have to search, I have to filter, I have to go down, I have to sacrifice, I have to go down and down and down and down. And you know what? You know what God says? He goes, search the scriptures. He goes, there's truth in there that's already been there. You just got to search it. It's for kings, right? It's for kings to search a matter out. It's the hidden things. Deuteronomy. Let's go to, hold your place here. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 29. Deuteronomy chapter 29. We're going a little off topic here, but I want you to read this verse because we're always trying to understand more and more and know things about God, but sometimes we just can't explain things, and we have to be okay with that, and I'll explain. Keep your place in John. Deuteronomy 29, verse 29 says this. It's an easy verse to memorize, and also it's easy. It's 29:29. The secret things, they belong unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Here's the thing. Go back to John. Here's the thing. God made it a way. He says, I want you to establish a relationship. But in order to do that, you're gonna have to mine for it. See, you got saved. Getting saved's easy. Truly getting saved's easy. If we're talking about effort, Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm wicked. Please save me. I don't want to go to hell. That's how I came to the Lord. I don't want to go to hell. Lord, I trust you. I know you that you're the Son of God. I believe it up here, but it's changed my heart. Something happened, and I said, Lord, I need you. I need you. Save me. I believe that you're the Son of God. I know that good works are not going to save me. I know that. You died for my sins. I've acknowledged that. I put it into my heart. I try to do that every day. But here's the hard part. From that day forward, he says, okay, you're saved. Now let's talk about sanctification. Let's talk about actually living like a Christian. Let's actually be a Christian. Are you worthy of the title being a disciple of the Lord? And you know what part of that is? Searching those scriptures, studying it, mining it. Sometimes men find a new truth that they think is gold, but it's not new gold. It's always been there, the same truth that it has always been. They go and filter and say, I found gold, but guess what? That gold's been there forever. That's the same as the scripture. See, people are trying to find new things in the book. The truth has always been there. What's happening is the Holy Spirit's revealing that to you, and now you're finding things in a different light. But Jesus says, guess what? You think that the law is what you need to keep. He says, I'm coming to fulfill the law. What you need is you need mercy, and you need to find that mercy through what? He says, go through those scriptures, and there was one. There was one that was going to promise grace. There was one that was come to offer mercy. He goes, didn't you read Psalm 22? Who's the one crying out for, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's Jesus in Psalm 22. Jesus is the shepherd. He's surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Psalm 23, the shepherd, that's Jesus. Now we say, well, I'm a New Testament Christian. I got both the old and... But see, what he's requiring of them is what he's requiring of us. Do you believe the words of God? Psalm 12 says, the words of the Lord are pure words, plural. Every word, every jot and tittle is pure in this Bible. Do we believe it? God makes he has this whole discourse. He says, the Father testify in me. He says, I do it. My great miracles. But you know what? He finishes with the witness with what? The scriptures. The words. When he's tempted in the wilderness, what does he say? It is written, right? It is written. He says that a lot of the times. It is written. He goes to the word. The word goes to the word. Why? It's his word. He says, this word, it's settled in heaven. It's everlasting. It's everlasting. Search the scriptures. Jesus said you had the scriptures, but you didn't search the scriptures. You Pharisees have the scriptures in your hands, but you're not searching them. What's the difference? Thessalonians says making that word effectual in your heart. They didn't do that at all. They didn't apply it to them. What I'm saying is, what didn't they do? They didn't see the Messiah when they read the scriptures. You understand? They were looking for a Messiah to do what? To just save them from Roman rule, to save them from oppression, physical things. And he says, no. I'm going to come to die whether you believe me or not. Are you on board? The reason you're here, okay? The reason you're here in this point in time, it's not just about church and hearing the Bible, okay? He says, I want you to come to church. I want you to hear the Bible. I want you to listen to it. I want you to start thinking about your soul, thinking about your life, thinking about what did Jesus do? What do I need to do better and examine myself? And then number two, I need to go home. I need to search the scriptures and dig and look and find and filter out that gold and find those things. And once you do, they're life-changing. And when I say life-changing, I don't mean motivational speaking. I'm saying life-changing for good, to be sanctified. God puts in you, when you get saved, a changed heart. He should. And the more you dig, the more you're going to want to find out. But what's the motive here? Why are you reading the Bible? Why are you studying the Bible? Is it to gain more knowledge?
Or is it to say, Lord, I'm looking through this. What am I doing wrong? And then once I look at what I'm doing wrong, because it's the only book that will look back at you and read you. It reads you. It examines you. I guarantee you've all been there. You're reading something and you're like, oh, well, I came to church and I didn't want to hear that. But guess what? It happens. It happens. The word is quick and powerful. It's real. It's alive. That's why I identify myself, and I hope you identify yourself as a Bible-believing Christian. That's why we don't identify as, you could call yourself a Baptist because people want to put you in, you're a Bible-believing Christian. I follow Christ. We got to enjoy searching the scriptures, right? Okay, so if you ever lost your wallet, a diamond, let's say you lost something that you needed for the government, your passport, whatever, what do? You go on a frantic search. Because why? It's precious, right? If we go back into Luke chapter 15, it's about the lady that's looking for the coin. I'm not going to pull that one like I did last time. The lady's, she's looking for a coin. Why? It was precious. The coin, right? She looks and she looks and she looks. She finally finds it and she rejoices. The prodigal son, he comes back. They rejoice. What is it with here? We have to mine. And once you find something in there and then you say, Lord, thank you for showing me that. Thank you for showing me that. I'm going to tell you something. A pastor said this once. I was listening to him, and he said this. He says, a pastor that taught seminary when he went to school back in the 70s, he said, I'm 80 years old. I'm 80 years old, and I've been teaching the Bible for 60 years, and he says, I've barely scratched the surface. 80 years old. He was studying the scripture 60 years when he started at 20. And the pastor that's talking and using this as an illustration, he goes, at that time, he goes, okay, yeah, whatever, right? 40 years in, he goes, I barely scratched the surface. It's amazing. The Lord wants us to read and learn the Bible. He wants us to fellowship. He wants us to be with each other. He wants us to serve us. But he wants us to apply the Bible when we search those scriptures. Because see, when you're searching the scriptures as opposed to reading, you're going to find things that you missed when you read as opposed to when you search. What are you searching for? Why are you searching? What's your motive for searching the scriptures? He says, in there you will have eternal life. In there you will have eternal life. They missed the mark. They had the Old Testament when he told them to search the scripture. He told them they would find eternal life through Jesus. Genesis through Malachi testify of Jesus Christ. You know what they don't testify of? Not law-keeping, not good works, or merit-based salvation. It's about Jesus. See how that is? So when somebody says, well, I got to keep this and that, or I got to do half of this, I got to do half baptism and I got to do this. No. In the Old Testament, when they were keeping the law, you know what they were trying to do? They were trying to keep the law for salvation. Okay, the Pharisees, that's what they think, that's their mindset. The people that were keeping the law, it was for that time, for that dispensing of truth. But what I'm saying is, why were they, what's the point of the law? To point to Christ. It was to point to Christ, who fulfilled the law. You guys could do this. You could try all 623 points of the law, and you're never going to fulfill it. Paul tried. He was very close. And guess what? He killed Christians. Right? And then he changed. Why? Not because of he fulfilled the last 623rd point of the law. It's because God changed his heart. God changed his heart. Verse 40 and 41. So reminder, search those scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Amen. And you will not come to me. He's talking to them now. He's rebuking them. And you will not come to me that ye might have love or life. And you will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. That's interesting. So we just shifted from you're not going to have life. Why? Because you don't have the love of God in you. What does that mean? Verse 43, I am come in my Father's name and ye receive me not. Notice that word receive. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. I'm telling you today, that applies today as well. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? That's a question, rhetorical. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, this is great, even Moses, in whom ye trust. Now, I'm going to stop there for a second. We're going to see in the future when we go through this book, they're going to be, well, Abraham's our father. You're not of our father. You're not of this. You're not of that. You're from Nazareth. What do you have to do, right? You were born out of wedlock. That's all these things that they're saying. Okay? You don't identify as a true Jew. You're not a true Jew. Why are you going to the Samaritans? Okay? Keep that in mind. Do not think, and then he's, verse 46, for had ye believed Moses, you would have believed me. What does that mean? For he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? My words. The words of the Lord are pure. It's interesting. And I hope as you read that, I hope that you see something in there. He spends a little portion of the passage on each of the witness. Great miracles. The Father. Himself. John the Baptist. But then he spends on that last witness, that last testimony, he spends a lot of verses on just one thing. The words of the Lord testify of me. God is pointing us to a very crucial point of our Christianity. You need to believe his word. You need to believe his word. The very physical manifestation of God himself is telling religious people, think about this. Ready? The application, the context. God physically present on the earth. His audible words are speaking to religious people saying, you need to believe my words they wrote of me. And guess what? Those words have eternal life. So when you go out and you tell somebody about Jesus Christ, he says, you must be born again. You must be born again. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, right, thou shalt be saved. In Acts 16 in the prison, right? What must I do to be saved? And he tells him the way of salvation. But you understand, it's the words of the Lord. They're quick, they're powerful. And he gave us those words. He's stressing the important point is that this Bible, he says, it's settled in heaven. It's eternal. All these books that we read about the Bible, they're great, they're supplemental. But guess what? In the end, you know what? One thing is going to stand. The Bible and nothing else. God is going to open up. In fact, I didn't want to get here today, but in Revelation, he's opening up books. And you know what? God doesn't want to send anybody to hell. But you know what he's going to do? He's going to open up books and he's going to open up the book of life. And he's going to say, according to my word, it's the lake of fire to those that didn't receive him. He's going to do it. It says it in the Bible. It's biblical. The words have eternal life. These words are life. These words are life. It's amazing. This is what religion has done for years. They don't want to go to the Lord. They want to receive honor from men. If you want life according to Jesus Christ before his crucifixion, listen carefully, you have to come to him. Okay? Not the altar sacrifice. You don't keep a feast day. You want life? You come to him. It's always been like that. So why do the feast days? You understand when Pastor did a sermon last week, a teaching on the Feast of Trumpets, what's the point of doing that? God said, do that, but they're believing in faith. Here's the example. Ready? When they sacrificed that animal, they didn't know that. They didn't say, wow, look at this tabernacle. It is the embodiment of the physical manifestation of Jesus Christ to come. They didn't know that. You understand? Hebrews calls it shadows. They were looking at a shadow, but they did it, many of them, with a, here's the difference. You're bringing up your animal to the sacrifice. The one guy says, why are we doing this? Remember the righteousness? Okay, he's bringing there, but now here's the goodness. Ready? Bring in the same animal, and the guy says, thank God, I'm offering this, Lord. I hope this is acceptable to you. I love you. Thank you. Thank you. You let us out, according to the scriptures, you let us out of Egypt. What's the difference? You see what I'm saying? That's the difference. The righteousness is doing the action. But see, what Jesus Christ said, he says, you can have the righteousness, but you need the goodness. You need all that stuff to come to him with that willing heart. That's what Christianity is about. People say, well, what? It's that easy to get saved? Yeah. He did all the work. It says he's the author and finisher of our faith. He did all the work. So he's telling them, you need to come to him, and it's always been like that. It's always been like that. Abel is a great example. Abel offers the correct offering. Why? He believed in faith. He believed. Adam told his kids. They had the same parents. So parents, if you think that you did something wrong because your kids strayed away, guess what? The only two kids that were around, and you had Adam and Eve as your parents, and God in the physical, God in presence of them, and you know what? Both kids listened to the same thing, and one rebelled because of that free will. So it's not always a parenting thing. It's just the nature. You understand? But he offered. It was acceptable. It was good, acceptable unto the Lord. What's our offering? What's our sacrifice, right? Four witnesses are rejected for three reasons. Ready? And it's going to be scriptural. Go back to verse 42 and 43. It says this, "But I know you," and he does know them, "that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive." Point number one for this. Witnesses, God's witnesses are rejected for number one, people simply don't love God. This world will receive anyone else. They will receive the Pope, a celebrity, an academic, a social media influencer, and you guessed it, in the future, the Antichrist. Anyone who will exalt their own name, the world will give them honor and glory. If it's Jesus, the world has an animosity. The world doesn't like it. Well, why do I got to follow that guy? This guy tells me this. Think of all the exaltations of people, but they don't love God. The moment you mention Jesus, it makes people uncomfortable. It makes people wonder why. Why is it that? It's the name above all names, and yet it causes people, causes strife. And Jesus is not a divider, but he is in a way, because truth will divide. But also it can unite. Right? It's beautiful. It's a beautiful dichotomy, as you will. Someday the Antichrist is coming, and the world's going to receive him. It's a scary thing. The Bible says so. They rejected Christ. Remember? Let his blood be upon us. The Antichrist will come in his own name and will have an image made of himself. And guess what they're going to do? Without even batting an eyelash, many of them will guess what? They will accept him. They will accept him. God knows he knows man. That's why by the way, one of the greatest miracles of all time, a born-again Christian. See, through life, we go through the trudges of following religion or hating God or not giving God a thought, and we're walking lost, and one day we hear words from a man that says, "You must be born again. Jesus, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." You hear all these things, and you hear the gospel. I remember the day I got witnessed to, and then the week after, I had all these people that witnessed to me. And one day it clicked, but sometimes it doesn't click. Why? Because something had to change. I had to come to him in humility. We all have to come to him in humility. And what's the problem? We want to exalt this one. We want to exalt that one. Jesus Christ is the embodiment of the opposite of that. He came as a lowly baby. He grew up. He was a servant. He was a carpenter's son. He's the God. That's Joseph's son, the carpenter's son, the guy that just did woodworking. Isaiah 53 says he was that tree. He was comely. He had no look. But the world wants to look at this prestige and all this. And God says, don't look at what I look like. Listen to what I say. Listen to what I say. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Point number two, verse 44. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Point number two, people reject the witness, they reject the Lord. People want the honor that comes from other men. The Christian life is about not receiving honor, folks. In fact, I'm not going to single out Pastor John here. I'm not going to single out other pastors in a good way. I'm not trying to, but you got to understand, you prepare, they're preparing God's word. You're serving the church. Other people that are serving the church, or people just being a Christian every day, there are things that you do that people will never know about but the Lord. It's not about seeking. It's not about the Pharisee mentality. You understand? It's the publican mentality. God, be merciful to me that I'm a sinner. He went home justified because he didn't care about offering high praises and these beautiful speakings and oratory words and flowery words, which many people do today. It's the man that says, I'm a mess. Lord, save me. I can't do this. Nobody knows about it. He's alone. She's alone. They're all doing it. And they do it day in. They do it day out. And they don't care about honor and glory. They care about the people, and that's what Jesus Christ is. See, he's saying, that's what I did. He goes, I've raised people from the dead, and you know what? People say, oh, we're going to get to the next chapter, and they're going to say, feed us, feed us, feed us more, because you just fed 5,000 people. And he goes away to pray alone, because he just wants to praise he wants to praise his Father and be with him and be alone. And he tells them, you seek me not because of the words I say to you. You just want the physical carnality of it. There's the difference between being saved and not being saved. Coming to the Lord in faith and saying, Lord, I search the scriptures. I know there's eternal life, and I'm just going to thank you. And I'm going to serve you because I'm going to thank you. And I'm happy for it because guess what? If I died in my sins, I would have went to hell. But somebody came along and told me the gospel and said, you need to get saved. Think about, you're sitting here today because somebody took the initiative. Somebody had the heart and the goodness to say, I got to tell them about the Lord. I got to tell them. I got to tell them the truth. They're going to hell. But you know what? He's good and he's long-suffering and he's merciful. And you know what? People that reject the Lord, they want honor. They want glory. And some Christians, unfortunately, they end up being like that. And that's not the desire that we should have, that we shouldn't have the desire and praise of men. Some people just want to fit in. That's the same thing. If you want to fit into the world, you can't serve two masters. You understand that? People want to fit in with the world, but they want to be a Christian. You can't do it. Your very presence, if you love God and they don't love God, you're not going to mesh. You can be nice to them. You can tell them about the gospel or not, but that is the price to pay. He says, if they persecute me, they're going to persecute you. But guess what? We live in America, so the most you're going to lose is a friend, maybe. I've lost many friends that I just don't see anymore because I tried to dedicate my life to the Lord, and it separates. People want honor that comes from other men. God said, you want to receive honor from one another. That's all you're there for, is to get up on a pulpit and teach the scriptures that you don't believe in to receive the honor and praise of men. That's modern-day churches, folks. That's some modern-day churches. We got to be careful. Proverbs 29:25 says this, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. I like that. If you have to choose honor from God or honor from man, take honor from God. If nobody knows what you're doing, take honor from God. You're storing it up in heaven because you love him. You're not doing it saying, I got to be righteous and people, what's their problem? I want to be righteous. I want people to look at me. No, God says that's not what this is about. It's about truly loving that person and doing it even when nobody's looking. And if some people look at it and say, you know, praise the Lord, that's fine. You just say, yep, thank you, okay. But you do it, when you do it with the motive and pure motive of the heart. And finally, lastly, verse 45, do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. He's being not snarky, but he's saying, he's pointing to them. He says, you guys are so hell-bent on trusting in your heritage and trusting in Moses and the law, which you've had that to teach you and to do right things, and that's right, but here's the problem. The Father is not going to prove and pronounce your guilt. This is what he's saying. The Son is not going to prove and pronounce men's guilt. The scriptures will prove and pronounce men's guilt. The very words of God are the judgment of them. He says, when you opened that law that God gave you and you were looking at that, he says this, since you didn't keep it, you needed to come to me and I would have gave you forgiveness. You see how that is? He says, Moses had the law And that's good. That's the schoolmaster. Remember when we said it points to Christ and we hear that all the time? The whole point was, I can't keep the law. In order for me to be saved, I need to go to something that is greater than the law. And that's Jesus Christ. But see, that was the Messiah. That's what they've been. It's pointing to Christ, right? Those shadows, what's happening is now the shadows in the Old Testament of all these things that they've been looking at, they're starting to form into who the Messiah really is. And guess what? They reject him. They reject him. Verse 46, for had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. What's the problem? You didn't search the scriptures. You didn't bring them into your heart. You didn't believe. I'm finally here, and guess what? You're rejecting me because you didn't believe what you read. You don't believe anything that I say. That's what it's so important. We can't get through this. And this is the crux of what I'm trying to get at. We can't get through this that there's one way of salvation, and it's always been the same. Right? It's by grace through faith. It's always been the same. Whether or not you're offering the sacrifice, what's our sacrifice today? We are called to have, Romans says it, a living sacrifice. But see, the sacrifice has already been done. It's once, it's permanent. Hebrews says it's been done. Now our sacrifice is to what? Serve the Lord, to dwell in his presence, to be with him, to thank him. We got saved. He did all the work. But he says this, the first five books of the Bible, Genesis through Deuteronomy, they're about Jesus. Joshua, it's about Jesus. Yeah, there's historical portions of that, but it all points to what? They're going through. If you were to look at it in chronological order of those books and why they're put in there, it's going to point to Jesus Christ. You have to go through all this, but it's going to point to Jesus Christ. Even when you're getting into the captivity, why are they in captivity, right? God's judging his people, but understand they were supposed to be a light to the Gentiles of what? This one true God and this Messiah that's coming. There's been a promise. They're looking, but what's happening? That veil, they can't get past that veil, and they can't see what's beyond that shadow. And you can only see it through faith. People don't believe what's written in the Word of God. Comes down to that, and it comes down to the Christian today or somebody that you know is not saved. It doesn't matter what I say to you because I can't convince you. You see what I'm saying? They're looking at the word, but they're not convinced. They're not they haven't gotten out of the way of themselves yet. So the Old Testament gives you 39 books of the Bible, and it talks about Jesus. Now watch what we're talking about with context between chapters of this book and what it's about. Ready? In the third chapter of John, we meet a man named Nicodemus. He's a religious leader. Jesus says to Nicodemus, how come you don't know these things that are in the scriptures? You remember that? He says, these are written in the scriptures. Okay. Jesus says to the religious leaders later on, how come you don't know these things that are in the scriptures? He keeps asking them the same question over and over and will continue. Now watch. The Jews had all this knowledge and they couldn't recognize it. So he goes to the woman at the well. He goes to the woman at the well, a woman who knows her scriptures, but she's not a Pharisee. She's not learned of all the things. In fact, she's half-breed. She's a half-Jew and she's not living right. Right? She's not living right. We've come to find out she's got things going on in her life. But here's the thing. The woman at the well, she didn't have a miracle displayed to her. She didn't. In fact, Jesus didn't. There was no miracle. He just talked to her, audibly talking, engaging, talking to a lost soul. She had little knowledge, but guess what? She believed. Eventually, she believed. What little she knew, she trusted after Jesus talks to her. You got people that know the scriptures inside and out, and they don't believe a lick of it. And you got a woman that barely knows anything. She trusted Jesus Christ. So what's the issue? It's the heart. People don't believe the Bible, even with all the Bible knowledge they have. Search the scriptures. You can know all kinds of things about the Bible, but if you don't have faith about it, it makes it worse. You can know a little about it, but if you trust it, you're better off. And I'll end with this. Your faith carries you through the Word of God, not your knowledge. Amen.